Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again, and here in this new year of 2019 to wish you and your loved ones a happy Christmas. It's still Christmas. Don't forget about that, folks. It's Christmas all the way through this Sunday celebration of the Epiphany, which I want to talk about in just a moment. And actually, we don't start ordinary time until after the celebration of the Baptism of the Lord, which is a week after that, January 13th. So, you know, keep that tree up yet. Some of you, I know, the really hardcore Catholics of you who are out there, you keep your tree up all the way to the presentation of the Lord, yeah? February 2nd. That's brave. I salute you for those who do that. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about Epiphany. Epiphany is coming up. A word comes from the Greek, just means to reveal, right? And that's what we celebrate at Epiphany, which actually used to be a bigger celebration in the Church than Christmas. It used to be one of the major ones. So it was Epiphany and Easter. Some wonderful things about Epiphany, of course, it's we talk about the wise men who came to see the Christ child. I'm sure those of you Bible nerds who are out there know that St. Matthew does not tell us how many wise men there are, but tradition has it that, of course, there were three, because St. Matthew does tell us that there are three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold for him being a king, incense for him being divine, and myrrh to predict his death for our salvation, right? But tradition also has not only that there were three wise men, but we know their names too, right? Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, right? We talk about them. We have been given them as a way of seeking the Lord, as a way of revealing the Lord. In this time, the Lord is revealed to the nations because these men from another country or other countries come to adore and worship the Christ child, and to see that Christ is given for the entirety of the world, right? He is given for all peoples of all places in all times, and the wise men tell us that. Also, another gospel narrative that is associated with the celebration of Epiphany is the wedding at Cana, where, again, Jesus performs his first of his miraculous signs by changing water into wine. What a wonderful first sign, too, changing water into wine. And I'm not just saying that because I love wine. Well, it's mostly because of that. It's another revealing of Jesus and the divine power that is within him becoming known, being made known, right? And here's something that I always like to give a little bit of a challenge to the listeners, something to remember, that although the public revelation of God ended with the time of the apostles, private revelation still goes on. God reaches out to each one of us as individuals, to us as communities as well, drawing us into closer relationship with the Father. And I guess my question is to you, how are you going to, in this Epiphany season, how are you going to allow, because he won't do it without your permission, how are you going to allow Christ to reach out to others through you? Where in your life of faith are you going to say, all right, Lord, whatever it is, wherever it is, you have my permission to act as you will? He's trustworthy. You know that, right? He will not lead you into places where you can't handle it. Scripture promises us that, right? That said, he's not going to make everything all hearts and flowers, rainbows and bunnies either. I mean, we know that in the world we will have tribulation, but we are to be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. And he still sends out his revealing presence, Jesus Christ, and draws people into relationship with the Father through him. But he does so through his church and through the members of his church. So how are you going to allow the Lord, Jesus, to reach out to others through you? So when you're doing, I hope you do the Epiphany house blessing. That's a wonderful, wonderful little practice as well that I didn't know about before I became Catholic, but I love the practice of it. As you're blessing the house with the initials of the three wise men and asking for their intercession and the protection of the Lord to be on your house throughout the year, the calendar year of 2019, Think about also, what's one way that I could allow the Lord to reach out to others through me? All right, so that's my little challenge that's fitting for, I believe, our celebration of the Epiphany this Sunday, January 6th. And it's actually the day of. I'm pretty excited about that we actually get to celebrate Epiphany on the day of Epiphany, January 6th, the culmination of the 12 days of Christmas. So I'm excited about this. It's a wonderful time of the year, liturgically, not just for all the sentimentality that's out there, but liturgically as well. All right, coming up here on the Rediscover Hour today, we have Carlene Fite and Samantha Hagel, who are with us for the Great Catholic Parishes segment from the Church of St. Mary at the Lake. They're going to be talking to us about the Be My Witness program and what's going on there with that. Amy Cummings and Annie Colling are also with us from Partnership for Youth. They're going to be talking about a new middle school program or event that's coming up called Rise Up Twin Cities. That sounds pretty exciting as well. And then in January, you know, oftentimes with the Marches for Life, with the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we often do think about, it becomes more central in our lives, pro-life. The pro-life saving children from the evils of abortion, saving women from the evils of abortion. That is something that we want to turn our attention to here on the Rediscover Hour as well. So we have Brian Gibson and Deborah Braun from Pro-Life Action Ministries coming in to talk to us about their work as well. So we've got a full show. Let's get right to it. Just after we commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So will you pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heading into our first break, when we come back, we've got Carlene Fite and Samantha Hagel from the Church of St. Mary of the Lake talking about Be My Witness. So stay with us.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today. Lord of
back to the Rediscover Hour. We're starting off today with Carlene Fite and Samantha Hagel from the Church of St. Mary of the Lake in White Bear Lake. Carlene is the Director of Faith Formation there, and Samantha is the Director of Mission at the church. So welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, good to have you with us. How are things going there, Carlene, up in White Bear Lake?
Hey, we're doing great up there. We have a wonderful, lively parish. We have so many announcements at the end of Mass, we figure a dead parish wouldn't have any announcements. So, you know, we get to read quite a few of them. So we're going really well up there.
I like that. I like that that perspective. Usually, you know, when you say, oh, yeah, we've got quite a few announcements today, everybody's thinking, oh. But that's a sign of a lively parish, right? That's a great point. That's a great point. All right, so you have a lot of stuff going on, but we're here today to talk about specifically how our great Catholic parish of St. Mary at the Lake is running Be My Witness. So why don't you give us a little bit of an overview about how you decided to begin Be My Witness there at St. Mary at the Lake?
Right, yeah, we totally wanted to take a really look at where we are going as a parish. We want to become a mission parish as opposed to a maintenance parish that just kind of sustains and, you know, hangs in there. We wanted to thrive. We want to keep going. And we were on a good path already, but we wanted to do more. What could we do more? And we recognized the fact that, you know, a lot of us growing up in Catholics, we aren't very good at speaking of our faith. Mm. We might be able to talk about what the faith is and, you know, other sacraments and things like that, but what is our faith life? And we knew that we needed to reach out to the people in our parish and help them learn how to be better at speaking their faith. And if they could do that, then they might be able to reach out to people who may not have any faith or not know what's going on. And then they can do that. So what we did was we adopted the Be My Witness program. We researched a few different curriculums. And we adopted this one because it gave us the area with which to just learn what we're doing. And it just gives us a wide variety of how to help the people and with the small group. So we decided a small group ministry was going to be fun. We have 2,100 families in our parish, and we wanted to be able to make it a little smaller.
Yeah, 2,100 families, yeah. And that small group ministry, well, we'll get into the logistics of it. But Samantha, just a question for you, too. I mean, obviously, as director of mission, this is right in the midst of your job description, I'm sure.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Were you part of doing the research on these different curricula as well?
So I was hired right as we were preparing to launch My Witness, which was an exciting time to come. So much of the groundwork had been laid. We had a very active, Parish Leadership Council and already our lay leadership that was, bought into it, right? Mm-hmm. So that really helped. But when I came on board, it was, hey, how are we going to do this? How are we going to go about energizing our community to be involved in small faith sharing groups? Because we really hadn't done that before.
Yeah.
So we did that by just really getting out there. We had a wonderful team that every weekend at Mass, Father Talbot talked about it. We had the Archbishop come out and talk about it. And that really did. It energized people to say, oh, wow, what could this look like if I do this? So we ended up with about 26 small groups that started meeting.
Wow.
240 people.
Wow.
That was amazing.
That's amazing.
Praise God, right?
Yeah.
We were so excited to have that kind of response. And those groups are sustaining even now. And so, the format, which I know we'll talk about, but the format of Be My Witness is designed to really bring people together to reflect on other people's faith stories. And in doing that, to your earlier point of that revealing presence of Christ, it comes through, he manifests himself in our stories that we share about our own faith.
Yeah.
And so in doing that, people have really learned about their own faith life. They've been called to discipleship in new ways. These groups are continuing to meet, and it's just been wonderful, really.
Good.
To see that.
Yeah, well, what a turnout, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
I
great.
Know. Yeah.
And when was it launched again?
It was Lent of last year.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's funny because we looked back at it later, what did we do during Lent? We couldn't remember. And then it was like,
classic.
Wait a minute, we had this huge effort underway.
Yeah.
And so it was Lent of last year. So the groups are finishing up as we just entered and finished Advent. They finished all 12 weeks during that time. So it was spread out over that period of time.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so Carlene, let's dive into the structure of it a little bit more. What does Be My Witness look like? It's small groups, obviously, but tell us what it does on a regular basis.
On a regular basis, people are getting together. And what was neat was, it was difficult in the beginning when we were recruiting our leaders, because some people really needed to know exactly how do you do this? Tell us how many minutes are you on this, and how long is it supposed to take, and things like that. And we knew we had gotten an invitation team together, and we went through some of the lessons and the sessions and how this was going to be and where this might be going. And we knew that it could go in so many different directions, and it was versatile enough for the leaders to be able to decide and work with their groups what is going to work with for us. So what they did, we told them, we said, wait and see how your group reacts. Do they want to meet every single week? Do they want to meet for an hour and a half, or 2 hours, because it lends itself to being able to do that in the sessions themselves. And so, and there's a lot of information in the session. There's, you can do scripture. It starts off with some scripture, and it has a song if you want to sing the song. And you can find all of these.
Reflection.
Yes, the little reflections. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's got a video mm-hmm. that you can work with. And how you want to do that. You want to send it home with people to do it, to do some of it, and then come back together and talk about it? Or it might be that all you have time for is on the spot, reading it on the spot and doing what you can do. And maybe you only have an hour to meet, and you can do it if that's what works for your group. And we also told them that, yes, there are 12 sessions total. We tried to give it to them in segments of, well, let's do 6 weeks now in Lent, and you could do 6 weeks in the fall. But we also knew in the back of our minds that some of these groups might get together and want us to keep going.
Yeah, right.
So some of them did that. They went right on, did their 12 weeks right off the bat. And so we also knew that we needed to come up with some more material for them. You know, we need to develop a library of resources that once they were done with the Be My Witness, you know, sessions part, that we could move on to something else depending upon what they wanted to do. So we have, you know, one group I know is, when they came fall to do their 6 weeks, it kind of went to every other week because that's just how life happened for them. But that's what's so great about this. Yeah. You know, when you're deciding amongst yourselves what you're going to do, that's how you're learning from each other. And what are your needs? And how can we handle this? And, you know, if one time you come together and something just needs to be talked about, you know, someone has something going on and maybe that week got skipped and you moved on to the next one. So there's just so many different ways, but it's building the relationships. And that's the biggest part about why we're doing this, is just to build the relationships, learning how to do that with each other out loud, speaking our faith. What is our faith journey? And if we can do that, then we can help them to say, yes, you do have a relationship with Jesus. And that is what is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So learn from Jesus, learn from us, and learn from each other, and see Jesus in one another.
Yeah,
that's
amen.
What we're doing.
Amen. Excellent. So it sounds like there is a good deal of flexibility to how you structure the program. And some might look down on that, but I think it invites ownership then, right? People are able to say, look, this is, I'm committed to this group. I want to make it work. Here's what my current schedule allow, but I want to make this a priority too. So I'm that's not saying that there's not any sacrifice there as well.
Right.
All right. So let's go around to this feeling of expressing one's own faith, one's own personal relationship with Jesus. Is that what it's all about? Is that it's training people to be able to articulate that? Is that right, Samantha?
So, you know, that piece about forming our own discipleship, you know, or forming disciples who will go forth to share Jesus, you know, how do we do that? How do we talk about our own faith? And so the common thread that's in Be My Witness through each of the 12 weeks and each of the lessons is that there is a time, you know, there's a gospel reflection, you hear other people's faith stories, and then there's this time to kind of say, hey, what does this mean? What is my call to action? What am I going to do differently in my own faith life? And it could be something simple like I'll make it to reconciliation this week, or
okay,
I'll reach out to a neighbor who I've been thinking about, who's ready to maybe come back to the Catholic Church. So there's these challenges, mm-hmm, really. And I think it's true to say that when we hear from others how that's going, it challenges us in our own discipleship journey, if you will. The bottom line, though, really, is that we want to encourage people to go forth and share that great news of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to meet in groups and to hear about, you know, everyone's individual stories. And then that next step is to go out and to share and to bring people into the church. It's not about numbers. It's not about saying, oh, we need to grow our community. It's about we need to grow those relationships with Jesus, mm-hmm, so that people are inspired and see him in us,
mm-hmm,
and are ready to go forward.
Well, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, back to you, Caroline, for a moment, since that's what it's all about, mm-hmm, which I believe that to be true. I can understand, mm-hmm, that. That's a good thing to be about. What kind of fruit have you noticed since you began last Lent?
I really notice a lot more in the relationships with people. The people are talking about how they never probably would have approached this person and known anything about them, but yet, and it might have just been because we have a couples group going on Sundays, or we have a men's group going on Wednesdays or Friday morning. They never would have really reached out to this person before if it had not been for this small group ministry and getting together and wanting to do that. And they said they've just developed these relationships, and it's something very, very close for them. And while some of them are finishing and morphing, you know, the idea is that we want to reach out and get more. So there are some people who might be leaving a group and willing to start leading another one at the same time. So we want to welcome in new people, and they're looking for this. You know, when we've been asking them, how is it going? They're saying, you know, we like this. Keep going with it, because we're just getting to the point where we can reach out and talk to some other people and invite some other people. And that's the whole idea, because evangelization has always been a scary word in the Catholic faith.
Right, yeah.
We first started this, the little invitation team, you know, we picked them specifically because we knew that they had some great insights in what they wanted to do. But they're like, we can't tell people to evangelize. They're just going to get all scared. And they
They'll
were nervous
come.
About that. Yeah. They really were. So, but, you know, so we talk about reaching out to others. We say that instead of evangelization
good.
A little bit. Yeah. But you definitely hear people being able to speak their faith out loud a little better than they did before, and they're much more comfortable. So we're not completely there yet. We haven't even reached a year, mm-hmm. you know, in really doing this. But that's but we're seeing it. We're seeing the relationships build and just being happy.
And the thing that I would add to that is that I think that the people in the groups are talking about how their experience has been, and they're sharing that. So even, you know, we're continuing to say, hey, these groups are still, we can start new ones. So we launched two new ones, which doesn't sound like a lot, but two brand new ones that really were kind of organic in a way. One of those was, you know, our young adults, that, you know, 21 to 30
nice.
Age group. And it's a small group, but they're ready, you know. And I think what's really energizing for me to see is they're sharing their faith, and then they're figuring out what comes next. What
right.
are we going to do after this? And that's really awesome. So right. I just love that the groups are really beginning to recruit others without even realizing they're doing it,
yeah.
just by
right.
their own, you know, joy that's coming from that.
Right,
yeah.
the joy of
yeah.
sharing
yes.
the good news. Yeah,
right.
that's right. That's
yeah.
right. And as yeah. I believe you said earlier, Samantha, mm-hmm. too, is that you do get a sense of a much better sense of your own faith as you're mm-hmm. trying to articulate it to another.
Mm-hmm.
Even sharing this, the experiences, the personal experiences one has mm-hmm. had with Jesus.
Right.
Well, okay. So, how is the parish getting ready to assist the people who have gone through the 12 weeks? I mean,
right.
you mentioned something about putting together a library of resources. Yeah. What
right.
else are you doing?
What comes next?
Yeah, what comes
well,
next?
Well, it's like we're hanging on to the side of our desk because it's really exciting right
I
now.
I see that.
Yeah, what's really wonderful is, so we knew that, you know, when you start on anything new, the next thing you want to think is, okay, what comes next?
Mm-hmm.
But also, let's look back and see if it's been successful. So we did ask for everyone who participated to, you know, give us some feedback. And the feedback has helped us know what comes next. That feedback has been wonderful. What we know is that the groups are continuing. I mean, two-thirds of them, 60%, are just going to keep going, give us something to do, let us know what comes next. But what we ask them also to do is say, come back to that idea of flexibility.
Mm.
What are you interested in?
Right.
Are you interested in Catholic social teaching? Are you interested in, you know, a study in Mark,
right.
the Mass? What is it? So we had some resources. Carlene at Faith Formation's got a bunch of books and things we've done, Collegeville Bible studies, things like that. So we kind of cataloged all of those and said, here's some ideas for you. If there's something missing, let us know and we'll figure it out. We have formed, you know, we have a formed membership. And so we've been encouraging people to tap into some of those resources. But more than anything, Carlene and I were talking about this on our way here,
mm-hmm.
that our challenge, if anything, is to figure out how we do support at such a large number. It's a large number that we want to be able
people,
to
right.
sustain,
yeah, yeah,
right?
right?
You want to keep that going.
Yep.
So how do we, you know, how do we do that? And all we know to do right now is to keep emailing and calling
that's
and,
right.
you know, being in touch and being supportive. And
right.
that's kind of where we're at right now.
But
I'm
we
sure
also know that we know that we need to have the variety of material
yeah.
like
yeah.
you were talking about because,
yeah.
you know, some people really want to delve into further. They've
right.
they've done their scripture studies and they yep. want to do more, and now they're doing it in a really cool small group.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some people who aren't there yet. You
yeah.
know, they're not
right.
into the, well, I don't know my religion well enough to get even in a small group. So even if we got them there, you know, they're just like they want to keep on a level that's just helping them get to know themselves mm-hmm. and each other once in a while. We've been giving away books for the past Easter,
years,
Christmas,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you know, kind
mm-hmm.
of thing, we gave away free books. So that just happened that we gave away Beautiful Hope
yeah.
Back at Easter time.
Oh, yeah.
So if anybody had, finished or, where they were at. Some of them kind of took over that book and then just kind of moved on to something else.
Yeah.
And, so we're developing our library so that they know
and
what they
can do. I would add the other part is that we have 39 outreach ministries.
Whoa.
So it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Stumble over that because it is a lot. But part of Be My Witness is that call to action. And so if it isn't by sharing your faith in a way that was untraditional, maybe it is by service in other ways. And so, of course, through all those outreach ministries, we see an uptick right now in people volunteering and really hungry to be a part of our community in a way that has service embedded in that. We also have a really strong social justice group, and there's a lot going on there as well. So people have opportunities to kind of tap in.
Be My Witness can feed into all that.
Yes,
great.
Right.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, but if people are interested in finding out more about Be My Witness or what you're doing there at St. Mary of the Lake, where can they go? What can they do?
We'd really like to just go to our website. That is the best way. And we have a lot of things on there, and we're blessed to have Father Talbot, who has wonderful homilies, and so we post many of them on there as well. So our website is St. Mary's. It's STMARYS-WBL, for Wiper Lake, .org.
Wonderful.
So they can go to that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Carlene Feit, Samantha Hagel, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks for having us. Thanks.
All right. Wow. It is. I mean, as our lives do, our faith deepens, our lives go on, we want to become closer and closer to the Lord, but also to see Him, again, reaching out to others through us. And that's what it's all about. That's how we live a life of faith, to live our life in service and love of others. And we want to see that happen and start as quickly as possible, certainly by middle school. And that's what our next two guests are here to join us to talk about a little bit about. Amy Cummings is the Executive Director of Partnership for Youth, and Annie Colling is the Marketing Coordinator for Partnership for Youth. And they are here to talk about Partnership for Youth in general, but also Rise Up Twin Cities. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Patrick.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good to be with you. All right, so just in case people don't know, give us a little bit of background. What is Partnership for Youth?
Absolutely. Partnership for Youth is a nonprofit organization here in Bloomington, Minnesota, and our mission is to provide transformational Catholic events for young people. We define young people as middle school and high school students, and we've been an organization that for the last 17 years has been providing events here in the Midwest. Most people know us for the Steubenville Youth Conferences, so either Steubenville St. Paul or Steubenville Rochester. And so we've just had organic growth from starting those at the Steubenville Youth Conferences here in the Midwest, and so continuing to serve that population and beyond.
Wow. All right, so let's get right to it. I mean, obviously, Steubenville is pretty well-known, the Steubenville Conferences, that sort of thing, but this is a new thing coming up, Rise Up Twin Cities. What in the world is that?
Yeah.
Annie?
Yeah, so Rise Up Twin Cities is a new conference for middle school, and we really saw a need for this conference because there isn't much like it for middle school around here, certainly nothing to the degree that we're going to be doing it, high-quality professional event, all the bells and whistles, just to really engage middle schoolers at a large group of them, 900 middle schoolers. The median age of Catholics leaving the church is 13 right now.
Really?
And so we just thought if we're not reaching them by the time they're in middle school or when they're in middle school, we risk them not seeing the beauty of their faith, the beauty of the church, the beauty of their potential relationship with Christ. And that's why we saw a need to bring it in.
Okay. And are you creating this yourself? This is being built from the ground up with Partnership for Youth?
Brand new Partnership for Youth event. So we're really excited about it.
And you're hoping for 900, or that's what you have space for? How does that 900 factor in?
900 is what we have space for at the Radisson Blue Mall of America where we're hosting it.
Ooh, fancy digs. Yeah, very nice. Okay. All right. So, Amy, you've been, how did this idea strike you? Was it your idea? Where did it come from?
Well, the Holy Spirit works in strange ways,
right? Well, of course.
So,
all right. Yeah, all right.
what a blessing. Over the last few years, we've definitely noticed an uptick in the desire from youth ministers and parents for opportunities for their middle schoolers. We offer a smaller event, a parish-based event called Ignite for middle school students here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And so from that, we kind of just started to pray, like, what's the next step? Where should Partnership for Youth go next, right? We already know that we're serving middle school or high school students, and we're doing that in a very profound and impactful way. And then with this study coming out to say, you know, that the median age of people leaving the church is around 13, or making the decision about their faith is around the age of 13, we're like, hey, this is really an opportunity for us to take our gifts that we have as an organization of event planning. I think most people would describe the events that Partnership for Youth does as, you know, they're dynamic, they're engaging, they're joyful. We're about creating disciples. And so it was really on my heart to just start doing the research. We brought together some focus groups, both of middle school teachers, educators, and middle school youth ministers, some pastors, and others. We brought them together in a few focus groups. This was a year or more ago that the Holy Spirit just really put it on our heart to start exploring this and to figure out, if we step into this space, what would that look like? What is the Lord calling us to do? And we know that an event for middle school students needs to look different than it does for adults or for high school students.
I would imagine.
Right? I mean, they just have a lot of energy, right? They're inquisitive. They need a lot of time to, you know, unpack as well. So we want to make sure that at our Rise Up Twin Cities event, that the parents that are with their youth there, or the youth ministers that are there as their chaperones, that they have a lot of time to unpack the messages that are going to be presented through our Catholic national speakers that will be there. So it really, you know, I think it definitely was a moment of the Holy Spirit. And in talking with the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, too, they were like, we really need to do something for middle school students. And they know that, you know, doing a large event really is in our wheelhouse at Partnership for Youth. Mm-hmm. And so it was a natural next step for us in our strategic plan as well to minister to a broader audience. And so middle school students, this was a good fit, and we're excited about it, and we're super excited about bringing young people in that age and the excitement that they bring and the energy that they bring and how they can transform their world, right? And our world, and we can't underestimate the disciples that they can be.
Right. Oh, good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very well spoken. So, Annie, when is it, and what's going to happen?
Yeah, so Rise Up Twin Cities is going to be held on March 23rd. It's a Saturday. It's a day-long event. And at the event, Amy kind of gave nod to the National Catholic Speakers for Youth that we're bringing in. We'll be bringing in Chris Padgett, so he's probably a name people would recognize. Mm-hmm. Maggie Craig is a newer person to the speaker circuit that we worked with at another event last spring and just loved working with her. She was so energetic and great with middle schoolers and engaging them. We also have an entertainment duo of Nun and Nunner coming to do a little session.
Nunner.
Yes, so it'll be a lot of fun. And then the band Sonar Worship.
Nice.
We'll be doing all of our praise and worship music. So other than speakers, we not only want to catechize them, but we want to evangelize them as well and give them a chance to encounter Christ at our event. And that's what we really try to do with all of our all of our events, is give them a chance to meet Jesus himself in Eucharistic adoration, also to experience the grace of reconciliation. Maybe for some of these middle schoolers, they haven't been to reconciliation since their first time.
Right.
So to see the beauty of that and experience that again for themselves. And we also have a lot of fun and games planned.
It's going to
be a blast.
That. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we've got multiple different games that are in the works and in the planning, lots of praise and worship music and fun just dancing around to praise and worship music as well. But hoping it'll be a really impactful day for these middle schoolers.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's shaping up to be.
Yeah, I just want to add, too, we're going to have those discounted tickets for them for some attractions at the Mall of America, so like Nickelodeon Universe or SeaWorld, so that they can take that in as well once the conference is over.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What are the hours of it again? on March 23rd?
The Rise Up Conference is from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m.
Okay.
And then if they wanted to stay, for example, at the mall afterward, they could use some of those exclusive pricing tickets at the mall, or whatever they want to round out the day with, they are welcome to do.
Right. Now, Amy, you would, I mean, this all sounds great, although, you know, middle school is a unique time in life. My wife is a middle school teacher, and so she has lots of stories about things that have gone on. It just seems to me like it's a ton of work, but you're very excited about it as well. And obviously that's fueling this. But do you think that there's something that in the Rise Up event, what is it that is specifically middle school that's just going to target them right where they live? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the big thing is you know, we're going to handle some of those tough topics of friendship, identity, know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're going to, you know, ask them to go out and be disciples in their own parishes, in their own community, in their own schools. And, you know, we know they're influenced by peers, right? And they can also be influencers. And so we're going to challenge them as well. And I think take that inquisitive part of a nature of a middle school student and really help them to like delve into opportunities in their faith and to know their faith deeper. And tie that into like faith can be joyful. Faith can be fun. Faith can be positive, you know, and I think that's going to be really important for them to see that and to see that witnessed, and also that they're not alone, you know, by bringing together, you know, yes, our capacity is 900, but what would making them feel like I'm not the only Catholic middle school student, right, that is trying to live my life for Christ, but just help them see the universal church and that there are other young people trying to live out their faith and being called to that witness of Christ as well.
And I would add to that, too, we want them to understand that even though they're young, they're also called to holiness. Mm-hmm. It's not exclusively for adults. I mean, look at St. Maria Goretti. She was middle school age. And so we want them to realize that it's a call for them, not just their parents, to become disciples, to be living in relationship with Christ, and not talk down to them, right? They have a lot of capacity to do things and understand things that sometimes we don't acknowledge.
Right.
And so I think just to challenge them and give them the space to use their power, so to speak. They can get a ride to soccer practice. Mm. Can they get a ride to Mass?
Ooh,
you know, nice. So all of those things that as a middle schooler, you still can do, even though you're not an adult yet.
Yeah. Yep. I like that you said that there is a unique perspective that middle schoolers really can give. And I equally to a lot of the quote unquote interesting stories that my wife would come home with and teaching middle schoolers. Yeah, she had a lot of just, you won't believe what this person said today. And I thought it was the most most inspiring thing that I never would have come out of a mouth of an adult.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Amy.
They have a lot of courage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they really do. And to Annie's point, you know, we do want to highlight some of those younger saints so that they can see that as a witness to their life as well. And we're also just, you know, confirmation that this is where the Holy Spirit wants us to go. I mean, we have groups already registered from, you know, Bismarck, North Dakota, and from Upper Michigan. So this is not a...
Wait, this is Rise Up Twin Cities. What are they doing coming in invading this area?
Right.
Let them do their own. I'm just kidding.
We intentionally wanted to make it a broader event that it wasn't just, I mean, we are calling it Rise Up Twin Cities, but we wanted it to be a broader event beyond the boundaries of our own local diocese. And since we serve, you know, regularly parishes and young people from across the Midwest, that was kind of a natural fit for us as well to make it a larger event than just a local event.
Yeah. Okay. So capacity is 900. That's actually not many. I mean, really. I mean, when you look at the grand scheme of things, there's a lot of middle schoolers out there, and they're already signing up from other states.
Yes.
So people need to sign up. Where can they do that?
They can register on our website, which is partnershipforyouth.org. We've got a Rise Up page on our website. They just click the Register Now button. It's a really easy registration process. And if they only know that they have five middle schoolers interested at this time, register. You can always add more later. So it's partnershipforyouth.org. Otherwise, you can give us a call too. Our number is 952-224-0333.
All right. And we'll link in on our Facebook Live posting here that we're doing of this interview, so people can tune in that way as well. I hope you fill up really soon. I mean, and capacity is limited, so do it now, folks. Get your middle schooler to this conference. It sounds like a great thing. And I just want to highlight, too, just one more time, the importance of recognizing you're not alone. Because I think it can be, well, it's always a vulnerable time when you think that you're alone.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. For Wonderful. Them to know that there's other young people out there striving to be disciples of Christ.
Yeah. Amy Cummings, Annie Colling, thank you so much for joining us. And I pray that Partnership for Youth, and specifically Rise Up Twin Cities, is everything that you're hoping it'll be.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
All right. God bless. We are going to go into our final break. Nope, we got two breaks left. We're going to go to our next break. When we come back, we're going to hear about Pro-Life Action Ministries from Brian Gibson and Deborah Braun. Rediscover.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that that message reaches you in souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. And speaking of life, we are here talking with Brian Gibson and Deborah Braun. We are going to be talking with them about Pro-Life Action Ministries. Brian has been with Pro-Life Action Ministries full-time since March of 1986, and he's been executive director since 1989. Deborah has been the education director with Pro-Life Action Ministries since 1986 as well. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Good to be on the show with you.
Yeah, well, very good, yeah. And Brian, you're no stranger to this environment here in Relevant Radio as well. So
no, we have. I have a show that's called Living the Gospel of Life, which airs just before this does on Saturday.
That's right. Yeah. So hopefully, if you're listening on Saturday, maybe you've just heard that. Maybe you've heard Brian another. But here to represent Pro-Life Action Ministries, so we can find out more about it. So what is it? Give us an overview of what Pro-Life Action Ministries is all about.
Well, our primary work is to engage people to try and save lives right now. The realization that abortion is the taking of a human life, really is the taking of a human life. And that at these abortion facilities where women are scheduled to have abortions, there are children who are going to be killed that very day, you know, within a matter of minutes sometimes when we're out there. So our primary effort is to reach out to the women, offer them hope and help, so they choose not to go through with the scheduled abortion appointment that they have. We call that sidewalk counseling. We do extensive training for a lot of volunteers who do that.
Sure.
And Deborah's in charge of that program. Mm. We also believe that it's vitally important that the church be present. So we call upon Christians of all denominations to come out and join us in prayerful activities outside the abortion facilities. And we have the largest activities like this in the country taking place. So our Good Friday annual prayer vigil is absolutely the largest vigil of its sort anywhere in the United States.
Wow. Wow. And that's been, you've been doing that for, I mean, you've been doing the sidewalk counseling and the vigil for numbers.
Well, the sidewalk counseling was first.
Yeah.
This particular Good Friday prayer vigil, 35 years was this last Good Friday. So this will be the 36th year this coming Good Friday.
Right. It's been going on for a long, long time. Yeah. And thanks be to God for your efforts in that. Deborah, how, so that's sidewalk counseling. You're in charge of that program. That must, wow, I can't even imagine what that's like. I mean, it must have 1,000 different responsibilities. Yeah? Tell us about it.
Well, we're the largest sidewalk counseling, comprehensive sidewalk counseling program in the country. And what it entails is recruiting volunteers to be out there on the sidewalks. We have people out. We try to have them out there every time that a woman is going in for an abortion here in the Twin Cities. We also have a branch in Orlando and a branch in Duluth. And it requires recruiting those volunteers, training them, equipping them, mentoring them, supporting them, encouraging them. So besides the training sessions that we have the one-on-one daily talking with them, encouraging them how to, they might have had a particular situation that they needed a little extra help in how to handle it. And so, and then, of course, when a baby is saved, it's rejoicing with them over the life that was saved. And I just did our tally. Last year, we saved 83 babies. And so we're up to 3,377 babies through 2018. And we just had one. Brian was the sidewalk counselor on Wednesday.
Wow. And so, thanks be to God. Wow.
Yeah. So we're starting off the year good with a baby
safe.
I
got the first one of the new year.
Was it the new year baby, too?
Well, it was January 2nd, which was first day of the abortion facilities were open. And I was out early at the mega Planned Parenthood in St. Paul, and it's all God. I mean, that's the bottom line. We train people, we work with them, we help them in every way we can. We try to do all we can out there, but the ultimate reality is that it's God who works through us. So it's God who changes the mind of that woman, changes her heart that she decides not to abort her child.
So I'm just take us through it. So if I'm a pregnant, probably young woman, and I'm headed into a, I know it's, yeah, thank you, Brian. Thank you for laughing. That's good. it takes some humor, right?
Shave the beard at least.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So let's say somebody I love is a pregnant young woman, and she's headed into an abortion clinic, and Pro-Life Action Ministries is there. What do you do? What is, I mean, can you give us a little bit of a snapshot of what that looks like?
Well, it depends on which facility it is.
Sure,
because
okay.
The logistics are going to be different at each location. I personally sidewalk counsel every week at the Planned Parenthood location in St. Paul, which is the most difficult to sidewalk counsel at. When they built this compound a few years ago, they designed it to thwart our efforts in part.
Wow.
So the only contact point we have with women is at the driveway as they're driving in. So when I'm out there, I'm going to be, as I see a car approaching that looks like it might have a woman coming for an abortion, I'm going to purposefully find a way to smile. I'm going to be waving, which hopefully will get them to stop. And then I'm going to give them the international roll your window down symbol, which makes it look like I'm cranking a window, which haven't been in cars for a long time. And it's amazing because that works still. And I'm going to have literature handy ready to hand them and offer a few words. And it'll be very brief. There are escorts there, as they call them, at the abortion facility. And their job is to try and keep the women from stopping and taking anything from us.
Yeah.
So I'll let them know very quickly. Briefly and quickly, there's help available, free help all over the place available, including right across the street. So, you know, I'm going to let them know about the pregnancy help services that are available and hopefully get enough attention that when they take the literature that they'll read through it and so forth and come back out later.
Mm-hmm. How extensive is the training that you do? I mean, you said that it's pretty extensive. So how long do they train?
Oh, actually, you know, when I started sidewalk counseling 35 years ago, there was no training for sidewalk counselors.
Yeah, right. I would imagine
so not. We learned on the spot. Every pro-lifer already knows the two basic pillars of sidewalk counseling. That is, abortion is always wrong, and there's help for a woman who chooses life. So we encourage people to just get out there and start praying and observing sidewalk counseling.
Okay.
Our formal sidewalk counseling training sessions happen 2 or 3 times a year, and that's a 2-hour session.
Oh,
but
okay.
What we have found is that people who have already been on the sidewalk can understand the official training better. once they're there. We also, if they don't want to wait, babies are dying every day, so we don't want to make people wait. If they want to be involved in sidewalk counseling and the next training session isn't until 2 months away, we encourage them just to come out. We do one-on-one training. We have a DVD. We have written materials on our website. If they go to sidewalkcouncil.org, they'll find training materials there. We'll be putting up some videos. So we have a newsletter called Sidewalk Counseling News that we send out all across the country. And so all they have to do is contact us. And if they want to start going out to the abortion clinics tomorrow, welcome.
Yeah.
Please come.
We pair somebody who's new with those who are experienced and are picked to do ongoing training as well on the sidewalk. So if there's somebody brand new whose schedule allows them to be out when I'm out there, I will get paired with them often to do the ongoing training, because there's so much you learn just by experience, by being there, by seeing and feeling and understanding the whole thing of what's going on. So
sure. Right. So the numbers that you were quoting before, Deborah, are pretty, it's impressive, but of course there's always, like you were saying, there's babies dying every day. Mm-hmm. And women who, again, are ravaged by the after effects of having an abortion and that sort of thing. Are there any unique stories over the time that you've done this that really stand out to either one of you, really, that say, wow? I mean, I know every life saved is a tremendous achievement and a work of God, right? But anything that really stands out to you, any particularly either joyful or challenging stories?
Well, there was a situation several years ago. This baby is a teenager now. Mm-hmm. The young couple were coming back on the second day of a late abortion to the Meadowbrook Clinic, which is a former abortion mill in Minneapolis. And they wanted, the first day of a late-term abortion, they put in laminaria, which dilates the cervix, and they tell them they can't change their mind after that. They were coming back to the abortion clinic wanting to change their mind. I met them there and got them to one of our pro-life doctors, and he stopped the process of the abortion by removing the dilators. When she had that baby, she was so grateful. And I had just come back to the office from our Good Friday prayer vigil that year. And she stopped by with her baby. And she said to me, "Thank you for saving my baby's life."
Wow.
And we have heard that before and after. To me, along with the joy of holding that baby in my arms, is the joy of the parents. Seeing how joyful the parents are that their baby is alive.
Yeah.
And yes, sidewalk counseling can be difficult, being out there in all kinds of weather and the remarks that we get. But the rewards are so much greater. To be able to hold a baby that God used you to help save is an incredible joy.
Mm, wonderful.
Yeah. We have a woman along, being around for so long, we've got some long-term experiences. But we have a woman who comes back every year on the day of her son's birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
To bring us a rose and a note and sometimes a little thing of candy or something.
Yeah.
Just to thank us again. And he's now in his mid-20s.
He's 30.
He turned 30 this year. That's right. And he's been in the military. He came by one time in full uniform with mom. She comes every single year just to thank us. And it's always a tearful reunion when she walks in the office. So yeah.
And he has a child now. Yeah. So this is a generational impact.
That's right.
That we're having.
Now just this past Wednesday, the first baby saved of the new year, the woman comes walking back out of Planned Parenthood. She had been dropped off. And she comes walking by me, and she says, "I didn't do it." I said, "Well, were you here for an abortion?" She says, "Yes," but she keeps walking. I said, "Well, we've got help for you." She says, "I'm okay." And she keeps walking. And then she says something. She gets about 25 feet away from me. She says something I didn't understand, so I had to tell her. I'm a little hard of hearing. And so I ran up to her. She had stopped, and she said, "The devil didn't get my baby."
Wow.
So, you know, just that day and stuff. And then she went on from there. I offered her help again, but continued on.
All right. Well, but just before we let you go, if people are interested in either doing some sidewalk counseling, if they're interested in supporting Pro-Life Action Ministries in prayer financially, where can they go?
They can go to our website. It's plam.org, plam.org, acronym for our organization. And then, or they can call 651-771-1500.
Wonderful. Brian Gibson, Deborah Braun, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to head into now our final break. And when we come back, we've got all sorts of events coming up in the calendar to help you deepen your walk with Christ. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Raise a glass to friendship and knowing.
Happy Christmas, Paul.
And happy Christmas to you.
No, it's good to be celebrating the season with you. What do we got going on?
Well, women are invited to the Women's Day of Reflection with award-winning author and speaker Liz Kelly on the theme, The Desert Shall Rejoice and Bloom. This morning of reflection brought to you by the Knights of Columbus Ladies Auxiliary will take place Saturday, January 19th, 8 to noon, Hayden Hall of the Cathedral of St. Paul. Join us for a morning of reflection on hope, healing, and the majesty of a woman's heart for the new year ahead. The morning includes Mass, light breakfast, two talks, and adoration. Cost $25. That includes a light breakfast. For more information, visit www.lizk.org. Click on events or contact Joanne, 651-900-1321.
The Office of Marriage, Family, and Life invites you to join Archbishop Hebda for the annual Prayer Service for Life on Tuesday, January 22nd at 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. This prayer service commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many women and men wounded by abortion's aftermath. All are invited and welcome. Immediately following the prayer service, we will walk to the state capitol for the Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life March for Life rally. For more information, please visit the events page at archsbm.org or call the Office for Marriage, Family, and Life, 651-291-4488.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. The Church of All Saints in Lakeville invites you to join them for a one-day Called and Gifted workshop, Saturday, January 26th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Men from all over the Archdiocese are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally on Tuesday, February 12th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Henry Catholic Church in Monticello. This evening includes Eucharistic adoration, confessions, dinner, and a presentation with author, speaker, and podcaster Matt Frad, who will be giving the man talk.
The power tools.
Yeah, right.
Lots of raw
I'm
beef.
I'm intrigued. The man talk. I love it. A free will offering of $20 is suggested but not required. Please register online for this event by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org or contact Enzo Randazzo at randazzov@archspm.org.
Are you tired of divisive, angry politics? As Minnesota Catholics, we can begin to transform politics in our state. You're invited to join your fellow parishioners and thousands more Catholics from across the state for a day of prayer and advocacy in St. Paul that will inspire you and teach you how to put your faith into action. Tuesday, February 19th, we're coming together for life and dignity for Catholics at the Capitol. Visit CatholicsAtTheCapitol.org for details and to register. Space is limited. Don't delay. Transportation options are available.
All right, well, coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, are you or do you know a Catholic young adult who's looking for summer plans, maybe being a catechist? Join us on the next Rediscover Hour to hear all about the parish-based summer catechetical program, Totus Tuus, from Ryan Sestachik and Michelle LaPlante. Also, Alex Schindler on World Youth Day in Panama, and Kathleen Beckman, presenter at the upcoming WINE Catholic Women's Conference. That's all coming your way on the next Rediscover Hour. In the meantime, folks, I am asking you to go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.